Public Safety colleagues, today is June 15, 2015. We're convened for a work session on Senate Bill 5516, which is the Department of Justice budget, as well as a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2356. Madam Attorney General has a plane to catch shortly, so we're going to change the order around on the agenda and jump into Senate Bill 5516 first. Mr. Borden.
Good afternoon, co-chairs and members of the subcommittee. Before you is the primary budget measure for the Department of Justice. The overall recommendation is for $482.2 million, 1,283 positions, 1,270.57 FTE. That's just a preface of the budget. There's one thing to note. The Attorney General rate that is assumed in this budget, the current rate for this current biennium is $159. The rate that was built into agency budgets is $192. The rate, which will be finalized after this work session, is estimated to be $175. So as soon as the work session gets completed, LFO will finalize work with the agency on the actual rate for the upcoming biennium. With that, Mr. Co-Chair, jump into the work session papers.
Please do.
There are approximately 17 budget adjustments that we'll go through with the work session papers. The work session.
We get caught up to it.
Hold on, we're pulling it up.
Please. So this is the work session material?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The work session materials and the amendment for this measure are posted on the Oregon Legislative Information System. I'll begin on page 3 of the report. On page 3 of the report is the first adjustment to the current service level. It's for the administration program. It's a policy package entitled Program Support. It adds $4.3 million, one position, 0.026 FTE. LFO is recommending it. This would be funded with the Legal Services Fund. It adds $2 million for a Portland office building relocation and one limited duration position to help with relocation services across the agency. It adds a human resource analyst 3 and one human resource analyst 1 position, a biologist an accounting 2 position, two accounting tech 2 positions, and one principal exec B position, and establishes one new fiscal analyst position.
So is this page 3 of the work thing, not the first two pages? We had a problem with that with Linda. So we're on page 3? Are we on?
Co-chair and representative, yes, page 3 of the Orbitz work session reports.
They are the.
I'm on 6 of 49.
If you go down to the next set of, keep going down. So there it's.
Okay, one. Okay. So okay. Page 3 of this one?
Yep, of that packet.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Linda renumbered them for us.
Please continue.
Mr. Go-Chair, members of the subcommittee, to finish with policy package 111. The next item in this package includes $1.84 million for a new legal case management system and one additional position for the agency's website. The recommendations for these two items came from the Information Technology Subcommittee, and LFO is recommending approval of this package. The next package on page 5 is LFO adjustment. This package eliminates a current service level package for mandated caseload, which will be discussed here shortly, in the defense of criminal convictions. So this package removes $892,681, four positions, and 3.76 FTE. These are brand new positions, not in the agency's budget. Of course, they're vacant, and they're being removed because the funding source is being removed. Next, we move to the Civil Enforcement Division. On page 7 of 35, is an 070 package. This is a revenue shortfall package. There's a companion package, which we'll talk about in a minute, package 135. This is for their charitable fees program. This is a reduction of $139,583, which will be restored in package 135. On page 8 is package 132, financial fraud enforcement. This package increases enforcement of Oregon's unfair trade practices and Oregon's false claim practices.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
You want us to ask as we go through, or how would you like?
Feel free.
So we're getting five new people. Is this based upon legislation we passed this session?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative, this is based upon what the agency is saying, past legislation, so it is not based upon anticipated or current legislation. Is that?
So the assumption is that suits have gone up based upon Unfair Trade Practice Act bills that we pass in this body, right?
Mr. Co-Chair and Representative, the agency can speak more specifically to it. I think it's a combination of enhanced enforcement activities and past legislation.
Thank you. That's all I need.
This package adds $794,618, five positions, 3.75 FTE. The funding source is the Consumer Protection and Education account. Package 133 is the Defense of the Master Tobacco Settlement Agreement. It adds $243,783 general fund, one position, one FTE. The position would be permanent full-time. Package 135, again, is the charitable fees increase. This restores the $139,583 other funds reduction. There's an important note about this package, however, and that is in addition to restoring this other funds limitation, it also increases fees for the charitable section. These fees, once fully phased in, will go from about $1.5 million to about $3.1 million. They have not been increased since 1981.
Excuse me.
Representative Krieger.
How many fees are there? I don't have that.
You mean the breakdown?
Yeah, how many are we talking about, charitable fees?
Well, it encompasses every charitable organization, so most of them. At the lower fee is what, $25 to $35?
Yeah, it's on a sliding scale.
Okay. Could you talk about that, Mr. Borden?
Yes. Co-chair and representative, the fee schedule is on a sliding fee schedule. So the current schedule is $10 to $200 and 0.01 of assets over $50,000 for up to a maximum of a $1,000 fee. The proposed fee schedule would go from $20 to $400, again on this sliding scale of 0.02% of assets over $50,000 up to $2,000. And I can provide you with greater detail if you would like.
That's right.
All right, please continue.
On page 11 is package 801. This package transfers one existing attorney position from the General Counsel Division to the Civil Division. Is an increase of $270,224, one position, one FTE. This is a long-standing position who's actually been doing the work in the Civil Enforcement Division. Package 803 on page 12 is cover Oregon litigation. It's a $2 million other funds increase. The funding source would be the Department's Consumer Protection Education account, Oregon Health Authority, Department of Human Services, and cover Oregon in general. That's how that is paid for.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
The 135, what number are we on the charity fees? One third, fast one. Okay, we'll page
803, I think it is on.
801.
Yeah.
803
on page 12, Representative.
So we're asking for $2 million to defend cover Oregon. Is that what we're saying?
Mr. Borden?
co-chair and members of the subcommittee. Representative, that's correct. This is consistent with the September emergency board, where the agency received for this current biennium $2 million for the Cover Oregon litigation.
But I don't see FTEs there.
Mr. Co-chair and representative, there are no FTEs associated with this because this is a payment to a special assistant attorney general, a private law firm in Portland that is representing the agency.
Mr. Wilson. So the original five bills you mentioned, or five FTEs originally, there's no additional FTEs that are being proposed for Cover Oregon. Those first five are part of it.
Mr. Borden.
Mr. Co-chair and representative, those five FTE are separate from this, so there are no FTE associated with this particular policy package or this litigation.
And how many? Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Representative, wasn't it?
So, how many attorneys are working on Cover Oregon out of the Justice Department?
Would you like Justice to come up?
I would appreciate knowing that number. Because, I mean, that's in addition to the $2 million, is what I'm hearing.
Please. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourselves.
Good afternoon. Ellen Rosenblum, Oregon Attorney General.
Fred Boss, Deputy Attorney General. Members of the committee. Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Wisnett. We have, addressing your question about how many FTE at the Department of Justice are working on Cover Oregon, it's kind of difficult to quantify because we do not have people who are solely dedicated, but I would say a portion of about three FTE.
And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, follow up.
Thank you for that information. Since we have the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General here, how many are, or do you have any dedicated FTEs within the Department of Justice working on the ethics complaints against the former governor?
Members of the committee, co-chairs, Representative Wisnett, we have a good portion, I'd say 0.5 FTE, working on the production of documents. So there are, as you recall, a federal investigation, and there were 13 subpoenas to there were subpoenas to 13 state agencies. So we took on the role of coordination of the production and working with the United States Department of Justice and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to, as a liaison, for consolidating the documents and producing the documents to the federal government in a form in which they wanted, and probably about 0.5 of that. Currently, our investigation that we initiated is in abeyance pending the outcome of the federal investigation, and I guess.
If I might, co-chairs, Representative Wisnett, in addition, I am not certain how active they currently are, but the Department of Justice loaned three lawyers to the governor's office to assist in the production of records from the governor's office in connection with this investigation.
Can I make a statement?
Sure.
Thank you very much for that information, Attorney General and Deputy Attorney General. The questions are to be sure that if you need, you've got to have the people to do the work. That's not the my questioning the number of FTEs. I think it's important to know that the amount of money being spent to do all this is available to the public, and that's the reason for my questions. It's not whether you need them or not. It's how much is being spent on behalf of these crisis that this state's faced on both issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Winters.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Important. It's an important oversight role, and I appreciate you bringing up those questions. Mr. Morton.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, continuing on page 13 is package 804, which is the mortgage mediation program. Again, this was an item that was also at the September emergency board. It adds $2.6 million for the program. Next is the Criminal Justice Division, beginning on page 15.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Representative Wisnant.
I'm sorry. I think I asked this when the Attorney General was speaking, Mr. Co-Chair, but the bank settlement gave the Attorney General's office a lot of money, and this is in addition to what was given from the bank settlement to do the foreclosure. I don't understand why there was a lot of money given to the Department of Justice to handle the foreclosure.
Co-Chairs, Representative Wisnant, I'm going to ask my deputy to respond to that very difficult question.
Co-Chairs, members of the committee, Representative Wisnant, this is not general fund that we're requesting from the legislature. It's my understanding this is an increase in limitations so that
of that money you received?
It is not an infusion of new money. It is we set up this little agency, and it's
okay. Thank you. That clears. So there was a lot of money with the bank settlement. The Department of Justice rightly said we need this money to recover what we're doing and work on this. But so I didn't understand if that is accounts you're still drawing from, and we're giving you authorization. That's great.
Mr. Borden, do you want to add anything?
And I'm sorry, just to Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, just to clarify, this expenditure limitation is funded by fee revenue from the agency. So I believe the other funds, if I understand correctly, are what's used to fund the housing counselors over in the Department of Housing.
No, that's not true. That comes out of a separate one that goes to the housing director. Counseling, the mediation. The mediation comes out of that too.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Wisnant.
Mr. Chair, I apologize. I mean, I spent a lot of sweat on this bill and a lot of attacks on this bill two sessions ago, and I know the Department of Justice says we're keeping our money to take care of this, and so that's why. And we didn't.
Let's back up to what this policy option package does. Can you take it from the top, Mr. Borden?
Yes. The policy package adds $2.6 million of other funds expenditure limitation. It is funded with fee revenue because this is a fee for service for the mediation program.
Okay. And do you all want to bring up your budget people? Would that be?
I mean, excuse me. Ms. Brown.
Monica jumping at the bed.
Monica.
And the binder. Co-chairs and members of the committee, for the record, Monica Brown, the CFO for the agency. To Representative Wisnant's question, I think there's some confusion as to what pool of funding. Originally, when the program was set up, the prior biennium, there was some seed money from the settlement to do enforcement activity, as well as then this is setting up the mediation program. In the time it took to set up the, not only do enforcement, but establish the mediation program, which included bringing on a contractor, setting up a fee schedule for homeowners and banks to participate in mediation, that seed money was used to get the program up and running. Now, the package that's moving forward right now is the homeowner fees, the bank fees, that when they choose to go to mediation, each side has to pay a portion of the fees, and it is essentially a revolving account. They fund their own program. Predominantly, the money goes out to the contractor that does all of the tracking, does the notices, and records the mediation as it moves forward. And so this is consistent with the action that you took in September, in which the base money in our Department of Justice's budget expenditure cap was not high enough to generate the volume that we're seeing. So this is just bringing limitation up to about $7 million in totality to continue that program into 2015-17.
And all it's doing is changing the expenditure
limitation. Expenditure limitation. Cash is already there because of the homeowners and the banks are funding that account.
I would like, Mr. Chair, I'll do it off after the meeting, get some further information to brief me on that. I'm still not. There was two pockets of money. One significant amount of money went to DOJ for this. And the amount of money was only $24 million that went to housing director to do the mediation and the counseling and to train them and all that. And I don't know why, you know, we're still, the justice is asking for another $2 million for this, because there's $24 million, and of that, only $5 million got spent by this body yet. It's in the general fund, because I've been discussing this with the co-chairs for 3 years, that there was a limited amount of money. We have someone from housing back here, and we can, you know, talk about that. But so I won't stop the budget, the committee from passing the budget today, but I would appreciate some comments from the agency to let me know, understand where this is and what happened to the money the Department of Justice got and why that's, we have to come back and get this. Thank you. I apologize for the.
No problem. And if we, because we do need to move on, if you could perhaps put something in writing, get it to the professional staff, and ensure that Representative Wisnett and the rest of us receive it.
Co-Chair Shields, yes, we will.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Board.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, next we move to the Criminal Justice Division. The first package is on page 15. It is the package 141, the Fusion Center. The package recommends $806,958 general fund, three positions, three FTE. On page 16, package 143 is continuation of other and federal funds grants for the program. It recommends a total funds budget of $857,238, three positions, two FTE. This is continuation of the driving under influence intoxicants. Influence of intoxicants resource prosecutor program and the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gorsuch.
Stepping back for a minute to the Fusion Center, that was the center that we had concerns would not be funded. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, very good. All right, thank you.
Ms. Ford.
Continuing on page 17 of 35, this is the high-intensity drug trafficking area federal grant program. As you've heard with Department of Public Safety Standards and Training, this program is being transferred from the Department of Justice to DPSST, with the exception of the Investigative Support Center. So what this package does is reduce federal funds by $6.4 million, and then those, and then $2.5 million of those federal funds come back to the agency as other funds from DPSST. The package reduces two positions and two FTE. On page 18, package 806, this package eliminates one permanent part-time legal secretary and reclassifies one research analyst 3 to a research analyst 4. The net reduction is $50,979, one position, 0.7 FTE. We move on to the Crime Victims Services Program. There are two related packages beginning on page 20 and 21. The first package is a package 070, Revenue Shortfall. This package reduces other funds expenditure limitation due to a forecasted shortfall in punitive damages. Originally, this package was around approximately $4.2 million. The agency has gone back and reforecasted the amount. It is now down to $2.1 million. There should be a $2.1 million other funds, nine position, 8.50 FTE reduction. However, on the following page, page 21 is package 145. The recommendation is to restore $1,969,753, eight positions and seven FTE of that original reduction. That restoration would be general fund rather than the criminal fines account as was requested by the agency.
Senator Winters.
Not a budget issue. I just want to take the opportunity to thank the Attorney General for assisting in all the work that we did this session and the bills that were passed that were relevant to domestic violence. You know, Senate Bill 525, the bill that we did on, the number escaped me, but I just want to thank you because I think we did some landmark work this session. And,
thank you, Senator.
And my other little co-chair down there, too, Senator. But, yeah.
Thank you. I was honored to work with you, Senator and Representative, on those bills.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, on page 22 is package 146. It's continuing grants for the Crime Victim Services Division, 2 million federal funds, one position, 0.065 FTE. These are Safe for Future grants from the Federal Office of Adolescent Health. On page 23 is package 801. It's an LFO adjustment. This is a package requested by the agency that reclassifies a program analyst 2 to a 3, an office specialist 2 to an administrative assistant 2, and a downward reclassification of a principal exec manager D to a B. The cost of the package is $28,737 federal funds. Next, we move into the General Counsel Division. There is one package beginning on page 25. This package, again, is related to the movement of one attorney position from the General Counsel to the Civil Division. So this is the corresponding reduction of $270,224, other funds, one position, one FTE. Next is the Trial Division. There's one package in the Trial Division on page 27. Package 161 is litigation support. The package includes $1.5 million other funds funded with the Legal Services Fund, or the AG rate. It adds 9 positions, 7.39 FTE. This package is across several 4 sections within the division: the civil litigation, special litigation, defense of agency orders, and criminal and collateral remedies section. Essentially, it adds attorneys and staff to bring the division up to speed. These most of the attorneys are that they've identified in this package would help alleviate problems of attorneys working over their mandated hours, quote unquote mandated hours. The package also reclassifies 6 word processor positions to legal secretaries and rectifies an unequal pay scale in word processors in the division. On page 29 is an LFO adjustment.
Excuse me.
Next, pardon me, Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee. Next, we move into the Defense of Criminal Convictions division. It's a general fund division. There's one adjustment to this division. This is an LFO package 801. It's on page 29. It's a 10% reduction, or $2.5 million reduction, to the Defense of Criminal Convictions budget. This would bring the budget to $22.5 million, which is a $3.96 million, or 21% increase over the 2013-15 biennium budget. We next move into the Child Support Division budget. There are no budget changes to it, to this unit. However, there is Package 201. Package 201 is a continuation of the Child Support Enforcement Automated System. This is their major information technology project. The recommendation from LFO is to defer to the Capital Construction Subcommittee. There's a minor typo in the recommendation, which is, it says general government, but it should be public safety. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends, based upon the recommendation of the Information Technology Subcommittee, that the Capital Construction Committee Subcommittee approve this policy package. So again, that's a recommendation only. Continuing on with the Child Support Division, there is one adjustment on page 33. It's package 811. This is a $4.8 million general fund reduction to debt service. This reduction is because they had fewer bonds issued this biennium, and when the budget was constructed assuming those would sell. So this does not impact the program at all. It's just strictly capturing savings that are within the budget. And then we move into a new structure. And this structure is to entitled debt service and related costs. The purpose of this budget structure is to separate out these IT program costs, including the operational ones and the debt service, into a unique structure, segregating them from the operations of the Child Support Division. So on page 35, package 801, this package simply moves $1.6 million of current service level debt service from the Child Support Division into this new package. And with that, those are the Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Borden? right, Representative Williamson.
Hold on, I have to get to the top. My motion. There it is.
Mr. Chair, while we're looking at it, I'm surprised that there's no request for Measure 91 for help support of OLCC. I think we talked about during your Phase 1 presentation, but you don't anticipate any additional workload from Measure 91 or to help OLCC? Is that for the emergency board?
Co-chairs, Representative Wisnant, I will also defer if my deputy has something to add, but I will say this, that we have been very actively engaged through our general counsel with the various groups that we, of course, represent, the OLCC, the Oregon Health Authority, and up to this point, I believe we have been able to absorb additional costs. However, it remains to be seen whether we may come back to you for other needs. At this point, we are very actively engaged, and I hope that we are doing a good job. But let me just double check and make sure that I've just correctly stated things.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Representative Wisnant, of course, the Attorney General gave the perfect answer. So.
Very nice. And those funds would be in the other agency's budget. Is that right, Mr. Borden?
That's true. And Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, there's a substantive measure moving through right now. And so that measure will include most agencies' budgetary impacts. So.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations to Senate Bill 5516.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO recommendation to Senate Bill 5516. Is there any discussion?
Courtesy, yes.
Representative Wisnant? Courtesy, yes. Representative Corsick?
And sorry, I'm being repetitive. I just want to express my pleasure that the Fusion Center has been returned to the budgetary process here and is being funded with 3FTE. I think it's an extremely important program, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Mr. Borden.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, before you are the agency's key performance measures. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends the agency's KPMs and targets be approved.
All right. Mr. Chair, I move LFO recommendations on key performance measures.
Representative Williamson has moved the LFO recommendations on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Mr. Borden.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, the Legislative Fiscal Office recommends a budget of $76,477,604 general fund, $271,922,218 other funds, $113,161,220 federal funds, $4,895,992 other funds non-limited, and $15,740,252 federal funds non-limited, and 1,283 positions, 1,270.5 FTE, and that Senate Bill 5516 be amended accordingly.
And that's the Dash 2 amendment?
Mm-hmm. With the Dash 2 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move the adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 5516.
Representative Williamson has moved adoption of the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 5516. Is there any discussion?
Courtesy, yes.
Representative Wisnant.
Courtesy,
yes. On this motion. Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so moved. Mr. Borden.
You're carrying this one.
So do we also need to move do a final action, right?
Yes, pardon me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this?
Mr. Chair, this is the important one.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5516 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson has moved Senate Bill 5516 as amended by the Dash 2 amendment to the full committee with the due pass as amended recommendation. Discussion. Representative
Wisnant. This is the one I should have done. And it's to straighten out the thing about the foreclosure in my mind. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Wisnant. Any further discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. And let's see, it doesn't, I'll carry it full.
That's fine.
Okay. Good.
Great.
Thank you, Mr. Borden.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work. Madam Attorney General, you can go catch your plane now.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your work on our budget, and we'll see you later.
All right. Thank you,
Madam
Attorney General. We appreciate your work. All right. So I will close the work session on Senate Bill 5516 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2356B. Ms. Gilbert.
Here comes. Yeah.
Do you want to tee anything up for us?
I will give it a start. House Bill 2356B modifies the invasion of privacy statute, increases penalties for recidivists and those who make recordings of others to a Class C felony. Currently, the offenses are a Class A misdemeanor. Measure previously had hearings in the House Judiciary Committee, and it passed the House on April 28th and Senate Judiciary on May 20. The measure staff measure summary and fiscal impact statement are included in this packet.
All right.
Denise Bowles
and Kathy McInnes.
All right. Co-Chair Shields, Co-Chair Williamson, members of the committee. I'm Denise Bowles of Salem, Oregon, and I'm here on behalf of Kathy and her daughter Ashley, who I met last summer after I was appointed to finish the term of state representative for House District 19. And since then, have been privileged to work with some other victims of this crime. Hopefully you all received my letter and uploaded into OLA, so I won't go into too much detail on the policy side of things. But this particular this bill basically changes the classification of a crime from a misdemeanor to a Class C felony in very specific instances. I'm here today to ask for $16,000 from this committee for the next biennium. I do understand that you've been tasked with a job to look at it from a cumulative standpoint. This is not a crime. We wrote the bill very specifically to address a situation of people who are hiding these little tiny cameras in places where somebody has the expectation to privacy, their personal bathroom, their a bedroom. And in Kathy's daughter's case, there were 7 victims. She had 14 cases of personal privacy invasion on her alone, and there were several houses involved. It was actually quite extensive over 2 counties, and the perpetrator is spending about 4 years in prison because he made the mistake of doing he has a burglary charge. So if there was no burglary charge, such as a situation that's in Happy Valley right now, where the individual was live streaming his house sitters in his own home, and there, I think they're still working on that case, but there is no burglary charge there. So it'll be a misdemeanor. He probably won't do any kind of jail time. This bill is the attempt to increase, give our district attorneys and something to work with when this crime occurs. It's not a widespread crime, but when it happens, it's really difficult. And it's really painful for these families. And I didn't expect to get this kind of exposure and realize what's happening. So the anticipation fiscal on this is about 4 crimes a year. Right now, there's probably half of them already being charged on a burglary or some other piece of the puzzle, but we're just here to try to protect women, children, men, other people from really experiencing this kind of horrible invasion, and then to realize that our laws in the state are fairly weak on this issue because of simply the just rapidly developing technology. So I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'll let you talk.
Okay. Co-Chair Williamson and Co-Chair Shields and members of the committee. My name is Kathy McInnes, and I reside in Kaiser, Oregon. I'm here to represent my daughter and other women and children in the state of Oregon. As a mother, this crime has been the greatest pain that I have ever felt. I will never forget the day we walked into grand jury and the state prosecutor shared with us and many other victims, quote, Our hands are tied until the laws in the state of Oregon are changed. Meaning, invasion of personal privacy is only a misdemeanor in our state. And our women and children are not protected by the current Oregon laws. The cry of my daughter that day was so painful to watch. She had been victimized by the crime and our justice system. As one police officer shared in our case while sitting in my family room, quote, "These laws have not kept up with technology." These statements have us where we are today in this session, in this room. Let's give our justice system the tools they need to help protect our women and children in our state by funding this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Representative Williamson.
I want to start by thanking Denise and Kathy. You came to House Judiciary. It was a really difficult hearing, I know, and I want to thank you for seeing this all the way through. Mr. Co-Chair, I've been working on a lot of bills like this session, whether it's upskirt photography or upskirting, as it's called, revenge porn, somebody who's fixing a laptop, downloading all of your intimate things off of your laptop at the Best Buy. None of those things were crimes. And so it is about technology advancing faster, frankly, than we meet. And so I want to thank you for being part of that conversation and the fact that that conversation will continue. Every session, every time we meet, we'll be trying to catch up with how people are using technology inappropriately and in a criminal manner. So I want to thank you for being here again.
Likewise, thank you for bringing the bill forward. Any other comments?
Just a quick question.
Senator Bates.
I'm not an expert at reading judicial bills. Is there an emergency clause in this? We've been criticized for doing too many emergency clauses, mm-hmm. and sometimes you do need an emergency clause. I just didn't see it here. Is it here?
There is not.
I was going to say, I don't think there is one.
So it doesn't start till January of
6 or 7 months from now.
Well, was there some reason we're not putting an emergency clause on it?
I don't know why it wasn't.
We are Ways and Means, Senator Bates.
Yes.
We never do policy.
Policy.
A bad twitch in my eye there for a minute.
Representative, wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank the former representative for using her time very productively to bring such a good bill to the. You earned your pay while you were.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
Well, I guess I might as well chime in.
Let's go back to Senator Bates.
I'd ask you that question.
You know, I guess it wasn't, you know, in hindsight, I actually probably would have wanted to put an emergency clause on it. Tried to craft this with as little things for people to be upset about as possible. and so, you know, it wasn't anything that was debated or that was discussed. I'm happy to have a Ways and Means Subcommittee add an emergency clause. I know that there are, I don't know if it would affect what's currently happening. I don't know how you guys would handle that. So there wasn't any reason why we didn't do it. We just didn't.
Senator Bates.
We're running out of time. I don't want to slow the bill down. And if we put an emergency clause on, it might change
the fiscal.
Physical. How fast, if we decide to do that, how fast could you get the physical back to us?
Let me, as the prerogative of the chair, just say, let's not get in the way of a bill that is due to pass in the next 5 days. I would like to move this on.
Chair, co-chairs, this is not a crime that is occurring every week. When it does occur, it seems to be a very high-profile, egregious situation. There's been several in the last 6 months. I'm hopeful that there won't be a situation in the next 5 or 6 months that would. And if there is, then I will think back at this moment and go, shoot. But I really, considering where we are in the session, I just would love to see this get all the way through. And I'm willing to roll the dice on the emergency clause.
Mr. Chair, I too want to thank my representative, because she's in my district, for bringing this board, and McInnes, because they're also in my city and everything, and that's why I went and said hi to them. But I would agree that we're in the stage of the process now, that we should probably go forward with this so that we can actually get it on the books, so to give our district attorneys and those the tools with which to work.
Representative Krieger, then Representative Gorsuch, and then we're going to work.
So it seems like the first, five, six sessions, we didn't hear much of this type of thing. And as this new technology is coming forward, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, every devious, mischievous thing you can figure out how to use this new technology is coming forward. And Representative Williams, that's why I don't use all this new technology.
Oh, I know. There it is. Computers, they're bad.
Representative Gorsuch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My heart goes out to you and your daughter. This is a terrible invasion. And many years ago in another life, I was a police officer, and I can tell you I've seen victims of various types of crimes like this. But there's also nothing more frustrating for the police when there isn't a good response to this, because people need to be definitely held accountable for these things. So take care.
Thank you. All right. I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2356B and open a work session on House Bill 2356B. Representative Williamson?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2356B to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Williamson has moved House Bill 2356B to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none?
No. No objection.
None so moved.
I thought she was
going to
say
No.
You want to carry it?
Yeah.
Representative Williamson will be the carrier full. Would you like to carry it in the Senate?
Yes.
Senator Winters? Senator Winters will carry in the Senate. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2356B. Linda, anything that we should know about scheduling?
You should know that you have Judicial Department tomorrow.
Okay.
And Wednesday is still up for grabs.
Okay. We will be here tomorrow for judicial. This meeting is adjourned.